Okay, so we started last class by discussing this battle. What was the battle which the Ramchal was speaking about? Somebody please. Anybody please. Lee.
The body between
right, the body, the guf, and the soul, the neshama, is the battle. Where does this battle take place?
In this world.
In Olam Hazeh, absolutely. That's where the battle takes place. Who has the advantage?
The body.
Right, the body. Why does the body have the advantage? Because we're in the physical world. Then we talk about the word Olam. Right, why do we talk about the word Olam? What does the word Olam mean?
Hidden.
Hidden, we said, well, it means world. Right, but it's from the word He'elam, we said. Remember that? We said Olam is from He'elam. What does He'elam mean? Hidden. Right. He'elam is hidden. We said HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden inside this world. How long does this battle take place?
Lifetime.
A lifetime struggle. Doesn't it stop ever? Seemingly not. However, God has a mercy. What was God's mercy we spoke about? What was the mercy of Hashem? That it's limited. It's not forever. Ultimately, eventually, the soul is given a chance to receive reward. Okay, let's take that information and let's start note 3. And we have a lot to do. And he says like this. Since these different periods of earning and reward are different, right, it's different worlds, he says, Kachroi is fitting, she's chalef mitzivlo v'shar makarav. It is appropriate that man's environment experience be different than the two. Okay, they're not the same. Olam haba and olam hazeh are different. Now, we define olam haba in 3 different ways. Okay, the way he's really referring to over here is not where your neshama goes through when it dies. Right, that really is Gan Eden, is the technical expression for that. What he's referring to over here is the future world. Olam haba is the world that we will go into in the future. Okay? He says the two worlds are different. The world we know now is different from the world that will be. There will be a change, we said. We also gave a number to this. What was the maximum amount of years that the world can carry on as is? 6,000. And I told you, if I remember correctly, that's based upon the 6 alephs in the first pasuk of the Torah. Right? Because aleph is eleph. So 6,000. Okay? Although, as we'll see, we'll discuss the Mashiach topic, which will take us a number of classes, that amount of time can be reduced. This galut, the fourth galut that we're in right now, the galus we're in right now, is the only galut that can be reduced. But we are going to look at a source, actually. It says we have 5 exiles. We're in the 5th. But we're going to get there when we get there. That's something to look forward to. Who's excited? Yeah, fantastic. Okay. I might as well just teach calculus, really, shouldn't I? Okay. So he says, he says, because this entire experience, this striving towards perfection, must be in a setting that's relevant. In other words, the game has to be set up, the environment fitting to what you receive there. We are living in Olam Hazeh. Okay, we're in the lowest of the 4 worlds, as we'll see, which is Olam Asiya, the world of action, Lasot. That's what the Kabbalists refer to this, of the bottom 4 worlds. So we see around us, the world is set up for struggle. That is the way the system is set up. Okay, it's made up. Everything that happens to us, this entire world, our bodies, our environment, our families, our dating, you name it, it's all set up for struggle and challenge. Okay? That's why the period, he says, the Zman, of making, of effort, right, is where the spiritual and physical are in constant strife. Right? Your body and your soul don't get on so well. That's Olam Hazeh. That's a sign you're in Olam Hazeh. Right? The fact that your body wants to do one thing and soul wants another thing, that shows that we are in Olam Hazeh. The fact that your body wants to stay in bed and not get up and not help people and just eat and hang out and do nothing, and your soul is about the same, but I want to do more and achieve more, right? The fact that we're all struggling is a sign of Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba will not be like that. We're going to see the commentary of the Ramban, actually in the times of Mashiach, the Yetzer Hara, which we're going to talk about soon, is going to be reduced in Olam Haba. It won't be the same. It won't be the same. Even when the body is present at that time, the two will be getting on much, much better. Okay? So that's what we're going to see as well. This is all introduction to the rest of the course, obviously. And the second paragraph, look at the bottom of the page. Kibul schar, uzman kibul schar, that is a time of schar of reward. Hine royaloshi yebematzav kfilazeh. It's going to be a situation that is fitting for the time of receiving. Schar is also, the world environment is going to change. We'll see the prophets are all going to talk about a complete change in nature. Some say it through analogy, and some say, no, there is going to be we're going to be living in a completely different world. It won't be recognizable. Things will be happening then which are impossible to happen now, and vice versa. Okay, we'll get there. We'll discuss what Olam Haba is all about. And we're going to look at many of the prophecies of our great holy prophets and see what they have to say. Okay? So he says, Kine, kol mashiach chomesh sholet bot azman. The more the physical prevails, what's going to happen? Hine loya ela machshech makev ala neshama. The more the body prevails, the more it darkens and it murkies the soul. Okay? However, during the time of reward, at the time of Kabbal Schar, he says, the neshama is going to be mischaber. That is going to be better. It's going to win over. V'yalken ha'yeroi shushut yishlat az el neshama v'chome yenim shacharei. As we said, that's when the body will start to follow the soul. And it's hard for us to understand these words, but at that time, the body is going to take after the soul and be improved, that it becomes soul-like. Can anyone think of an example where we see such a thing? Where the body had the same attributes as the neshama. That's what we're going to go visit next. Yeah? Adam Arishon. We're going to see that this whole thing got going with Adam and Chava. And that's when at that point there was a unity between body and soul. Right? The body and the soul at that point. So history begins at that point, and we're going to come full circle back to Gan Eden, back to that point. That's really where we're going over here. I'm trying to set up the scene. Are you following? We're going back to that point where the body and soul will reside well together. Oh, what happened? What brought death to the world and brought the struggle on? So that was the chait, the sin of Adam, Harishon, and Chava. Okay? Adam and Chava sinned, they left Gan Eden, and what all of world history really is a recapturing of that original state. That's really where we're going over here. Okay? So Messianic times and Tchis HaMetim are going back to that point. That's what the Ramchal is now going to tell us. V'amnam, v'yalken nivru shnei olamot. So God created two worlds. Okay? Olam HaZeh, bottom of page 3, Olam Haba. Olam HaZeh is the time of Milchama, and Olam Haba, the time of receiving schar, of receiving reward. Are we all following carefully? Turn over the page. Let's move. Olam hazeh makom v'chukim hatzvim shelo hem mashu il adam kol zman shtadlut. The environment, the principles of Olam Haba, on the hand, are necessary for the time to receive the reward. Sorry. So Olam HaZeh is to do the effort, and Olam Haba, that world was set up in order to receive reward. Okay? Those are the two elements we are dealing with. How did this thing get going? Right? Where? How do we get to this point that we're having this big war? So actually, it's not Plan A. Plan A was Adam and Chava. That was Plan A. They messed up for whatever reasons. We'll get into it a little bit later. And how they messed up is very interesting. That was through food. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later as well. We're going to discuss kosher, because that's going to be very telling of how we got to this point. Not for now. But ultimately, through their sin, through their hate, we entered this world that we're describing right now. Okay, let's have a look on page 4, note 1. And the Ramchal is going to carry on. And he says, there's something else you're going to have to know. Something else you have to know. V'nei amina inshuli, right? The what we see in mankind, and you know rishon kamosha anu ro'im v'chinim ota ata. What you see right now wasn't the way it was. The world you look at now is not the way it was. There was a major change. There was a break. The spiritual world broke down in such a way that led us to where we are right now. Okay? Keep Olam shinui godol haba. There was a massive change. Vahu, what was that exactly? What happened over here? Inyan chetoshal Adam Harishon. Right, that is the abbreviation for Adam Harishon. Right, fourth line down in the Hebrew. Shinishtane bo Adam. Mankind changed. There was a change in what mankind was. Vaha'olam mimashayo betchila. So too the world changed. The world you see now is not the world of Adam Harishon. Volam prateh shinui hazeh. We'll talk about them rabim. There's many, many differences. Vodim bam lefnim b'siyat ha'shmai. He's going to speak about it more. V'nim sasha dibur b'minin shoy. B'avchana b'noi soy kefulim. Right? We speak about personal environment. Ki yidoba bo. Uv'nasova b'chinot kodem achet. We speak about Adam Harishon before the sin. Right? So there's man, mankind, pre-achit and post-achit, before the sin, lifne-achit, achre-achit, before and after. That's the turning point in world history. Okay? And you can see this state is different before and after what exists. What was it like beforehand? What was it like? Tell me! Adam Rishon was first formed. He was precisely in the state we have discussed until now. The Hainu, what is that? Watch very carefully. Very important. He was made of two sides. Adam Rishon was body and soul. He had a body, a physical body, and he had a neshama. Shamarat shehem neshama vaguf. Okay. So far, it sounds like me, or you, or any of us. He says, no. He was made of good and evil. It was different. He was, yes, before the sin, he was made of body and soul, Adam Rishon. And one was physical, one was spiritual. He was able to very freely choose. This is important. He could freely choose between one and the other. Okay? He could freely choose. It was open to him. Very easy. Vinei, hayaru eloi shikobatov. He chose to choose good. The gaber, all phones away, please. The yagvinish mota al gufo, the sitat al chomro. It was very easy for him to win over the body with the soul. Right? It was just part of who he was. Vasa yamish dala miyad. And he could improve himself in any way. The nafush lematol netzach. And that would last forever. But Sarah Shateda, bottom paragraph, and you should know, although you don't feel your soul's existence inside your body, it is necessary to realize the soul has the ability to provide us with life. It's your soul that gives you life, and the ability for sichlet to think. That's the neshama. That's the neshama. We'll see. Different levels. We'll talk about the neshama as a general term. But we're going to see the word neshama actually refers to five levels of the soul. And each of those are actually in different parts of the body. When we talk neshama, we're talking life. Life force is the neshama, is the soul. We're going to break it down, as we said. We'll see actually the neshama is going to be the middle level of the five levels of the soul, as the Ramchal is going to say a little bit later. Okay. So that's what the neshama gives us. So you don't actually feel the soul. The soul is olam, it is hidden. Right? We can't experience the spiritual world. Adam Harishon could, before the chait, before the sin. He could. He could tap into the spiritual world and experience it just as we do. Just as we experience the physical. Right? It was open. There was a breakdown in the spiritual world, and suddenly it became hidden. Okay? After the chait, things changed. It became a struggle, a milchama. Yes, Leah Zerbin.
I mean, like, the fact that he feels
different,
but the freely choosing, we can also freely choose between.
Very, very true. We do have, absolutely. We have Bechira. That's the difference. That's the exactly. We have Bechira. We have free will. We can choose. If you don't have free will, you can't be rewarded. As we're going to see when we discuss the idea of mitzvot and the struggle for mitzvot. Absolutely. However, for him, it was a struggle. There was no struggle. It was a choice.
Like he didn't have evil.
I know. I mean, it was that he could because he chose to sin. That was a conscious choice.
So when we sin, it's not a conscious choice?
when we sin, it is a conscious choice, but we are pushed towards it.
So
we are struggling with it. We are held highly accountable. Absolutely. Because it's a struggle. We have to win it over. I know. That's not fair. All right. You're saying the deck is... So we do... You're right. We have, in a way, disadvantage, as we mentioned last class. But there are things we can do, we're going to see, which will help us. And that ultimately is going to be the mitzvot. Ultimately, the mitzvot are there. People realize this. The mitzvot are there to give us the away advantage that becomes a home advantage. That's what the mitzvot are for. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yes. All the other battle. Adam had no battle. Sounds nice, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Just to float through the world in your pajamas and not have any battle? No. I mean, the big question, which, this is like the big white elephant in the room, is that the expression? Or is it pink? I don't know what color it was anymore. Right, the big question we're going to have about this is, if he had no battle, why would he choose evil? That's the big question, right? That's the big philosophical question that needs to be answered. There's many answers to this question. I don't want to get into it right now. I'll give you one short answer, because it does relate to what we're discussing, and that is, in order to... This is how it's answered. In order to appreciate good, there has to be a struggle. Right? Any gift we get for free, which is what he was given, without a struggle, cannot be appreciated, and it's a bread of shame. That's what they refer to it. There's a shameful aspect to it. So they say, so they understand it, that Adam Rishon deliberately sinned so that mankind would have to struggle in order to bring it up. Bring it back. Right? Two people on top of a mountain. One climbed up, one was dropped off by a helicopter. Who feels more accomplishment? One who climbed up. That's basically what we're saying. He decided for humanity that is what we have to do. There had to be a struggle in order to achieve the good. Whatever that means. We say these things, we don't fully understand, but that's really how we understand it. You can send it to me. Okay. We're getting there. We are getting there, my sister. Don't you worry. Bottom of page 4. So we said we're not aware of the soul's existence, but however, it's what gives us life. So what does the soul give us? Two things. Life. In fact, your life is your soul. As I said in class this morning to one of the students, she got very upset. Then I explained. I said to her, you don't have a soul. She was like, oh, thank you so much, Rabbi. And what was I saying?
You don't have a life.
No. You don't have a life. You need to get a life. No. What am I saying? Oh, very, very good. I see you are a neshama. You have a body. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. That's your essence. That's what the Chacham is telling us. Very important. You are a soul. You have a body. You're given a body. We're saying over here, for the amount of time you're in this world, olam hazeh, okay? And eventually, through the struggle of body and soul, as you mentioned last class, right? That, the achievement, you'll be able to achieve, and you'll receive your reward in olam haba. That's what we're saying. Obviously, she has a life. I don't have a life. She has a life, thank God. Okay. V'hene be'emet yesh b'chukah shvisachech etzem ha'guf v'chomroi. And this is the amazing thing. Your soul is the ability to purify your guf. Okay, it can lift it up. We're going to see. This will all make sense when we look at it. You'll notice that every single mitzvah, except 6, involve a physical action. You've got to do something. You have to eat something. You have to hear something. You have to walk into something. You have to touch. You have to smell something. It involves maaseh action. What do you do action with? Your body, your guf. Right? Same with negative mitzvot. Same with the lotaseh as well. How does the lotaseh work? You have to do something. Right? Thinking is not enough. Did we mention this last class? I've forgotten. Right? If you think a bad thing, let's say you think lashon hara, you've done something wrong? No, not better to think it. If you speak it, that's something else. Once you speak it, we consider speech to be as an action, which is at least actions as well. So then already it's come out into the world and it becomes a problem. But let's say you think you want to do an Aveira, and you don't, or you prevent it from doing it, you're not going to sin for that. Once you do the Aveira, you get punished for the thoughts as well. But you can brought it out to action. It always involves action, because the body is the mechanism, it's the cleave, the vessel, which holds onto the soul. Remind me later on this course, we'll do a class. I'm going to have to mention the class later on. I think we're going to do it by reincarnation when we get there. We'll discuss shoes. You should be excited.
Just
I'm discussing shoes
there,
with girls, right? I've got shoes with my daughters. They get very excited, right? They're going to buy them a new pair. Right. We'll see. Shoes we're going to see. I know I'm jumping a little bit, but this is interesting. Shoes are the... Watch very carefully. Are the vessel that hold the soul. The body. Right? The shoe holds the body. So the rabbis say, just as the shoe holds the body holds the soul. Now, see, there's many laws and customs when it comes to shoes, besides buying lots of them. Right? It's like an ancient Jewish tradition, no doubt about that. But there's a lot of that, right? We notice, we'll list them off another time, I don't know it now, but we remove shoes, and the Kohanim didn't used to wear shoes, chalitza, take shoes off, and yibum, all these things. These are all related to what's discussing over here. Right, because the shoe is the vessel that holds the body, so it represents the physical world. When we discuss Yibum and Chalitza, God willing, we'll discuss this as well. We're going to discuss that mitzvah in a little bit of detail later on. Okay, so that's the body. So it acts out. The neshama needs a body in order to act out in this world. It's got to get stuff done. The neshama cannot do it. The body allows you to do that. Are we following over here? Are we...
Okay, well, you can't wear like a dead man's shoe or something.
This is such a customization thing, right? Like, this is related to that as well. That's a minhag. Okay, so say the body, the soul has the body to even to uplift the body as well. Okay? Until the point, this is amazing words, that the body itself can enjoy the soul too. We have glimpses of that as well sometimes, you know. Interesting, we're going to see as well that, so for us, one thing I want to realize, and now we have separated ourselves out, by the way, from pretty much every other religion out there. How do you realize that? Is the body a bad thing? Are the body's desires bad? No, they're fantastic, right? If they're channeled for the good. We see all physical. What's the holiest day in the Jewish year?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur is not the holiest day of the Jewish year. Nope. You're in my Purim class, like you said that. Nope. Shabbat. Come on.
But Yom Kippur is Shabbat, Shabbaton.
Right, so Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, Shabbat, Shabbat. But without Shabbat, you ain't got a Yom Kippur. And actually, I'll prove it to you. You'll see that the amount of aliyot you get on Shabbat increase and exceed even that of Yom Kippur. Shabbat is the holiest day of the entire year. That's why the Shabbat is in the Aseret Dibrot. And Yom Kippur is not. What do we do on Shabbat? I'm just jumping ahead a little bit. This is interesting. What do we do on Shabbat? We eat and we drink and we're intimate and we drink and we sing. It becomes a physical. So you take the holiest day, you take the physical and you lift it up, right? We'll see Shabbat actually is the absolute I don't want a whole course on Shabbat right now, actually. But ultimately, Shabbat is the classic example of the uniting of body and soul. That's why Shabbat is called Me'ein Olam Haba. It is the taste of the next world. What does that mean? Next world to be cholent? No. It means that you're experiencing Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh. That is the closest. Someone says to you, what's the Jewish idea of heaven? You say Shabbat. That's the closest paradigm you'll see of what we're discussing over here. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to just, because this is all, you know, although this is a philosophy class as well, so it has to be some philosophy, but Shabbat is the ultimate example. That's the coming together of the physical and the spiritual. So the next world is a world that is all Shabbat, kulo Shabbat. That's what it is. By the way, in order to get that, you have to get Shabbat in this world. Shabbat, and I don't do it so much in this course, but it's worth mentioning, Shabbat is actually the gateway into Olam Haba. You don't keep Shabbat, you're not going to get it. You've got at least one Shabbos. Just one Shabbos, and we'll all be free. Don't say just one Sukkot, just one Matzah. Right? Don't say that, just one Chuppah. Right? Hope you just have one Chuppah. Right? Don't say that, so you say just one Shabbat. Why? Because Shabbat is the entryway. So, okay, let's keep going over here. Let's say, Adam Rishon, that was, Yarden. Yarden said, well, what was it like? Let's say he had Nisim. So the Ramchal was machaven your question, Yarden. Feeling good? You should do. Vamnam. If Adam Rishon had not sinned, let's say he wouldn't have sinned. Let's say he would have been perfect. Right? What would have happened? What would have happened was he would have gone through purity. The body would have completely purified itself together with the neshama. it would have worked out perfectly, a nice thing, physical as well. They, you know, the horse and the rider working together, absolutely perfect, everything's great. And that would have carried on forever. It would have gone absolutely perfectly, and we would have gone, whoop, right? Everything would have worked out absolutely fine. Oh, but that's not what happened, which is why we are here right now, going to college, trying to get an education in order to get a job, and deal with all that. Absolutely. All this, everything's wrong with the world right now because of Adam and Rishon.
But what if, what would we have done? Like, if that was the case, like, what would life be?
Farah, you would have sat in deal, hanging out with all your...
Like, it's boring.
All your Syrian friends. Because you, that's what it seems to you. I know.
It's boring. Even one day, people can't handle resting.
You know, exactly. Oh. Oh, those are the people on Shabbat. They're like, when's Shabbat over? I've got to get out. Right? That's why Saturday night's such a big night, right? I've got to get out. I can't take anymore. Get me out of here, right? Me, I'm like, keep Shabbos going forever. I just want to go on and
that's
on.
What you think.
Me, I'm telling you. That's what
it's like people and they like pizza. They have pizza every single day of the week. Then that's it. After a week, they're like, oh, I can't look at pizza anymore.
That's a very, very good. You're absolutely right. You're saying very good. That's the proof of the goof.
Yeah, so
the goof gets tired.
I feel like Hashem made it that he had to sin.
Yeah, okay. So this is you're touching a big area, absolutely right.
Yeah, like what would have been the world?
Had Hashem not wanted it, Farah, it wouldn't have happened.
And I'm sure even when Mashiach comes, there has to be somewhat of a struggle, something. Like, can't just be like perfect all the time. Like,
why not? That sounds nice.
What, during the Beit HaMikdash, are people sinning?
Yes, but no Mashiach.
Yeah, but
the Beit HaMikdash was a system to achieve perfection.
Yeah.
Actually, he's saying wild over here. You know the Mishkan that we talk about, the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash? Israel, are you listening?
Yes.
The Mishkan was actually plan B. It wasn't meant to be that way. The Mishkan came because of the chait of the Egel. Had the gold, that's what Ramban says, had the gold, all these things come to help us. Had they not sinned of the sin of the golden calf, we would have been, everyone would have had their own personal Mishkan inside them. So all the time we end up messing up, and come along various responses to help us fix it up. We're going to see all the mitzvot do this. All this, kosher comes, we'll see, to mitakein this. I'm going to show you sources. Don't tell my word for it. Right? Don't you worry. We're going to see all the mitzvot come ultimately to help us get back to this point.
But there has to be like somewhat of like a yeter hara to not do the mitzvot, because then what would like, how would it, like Hashem...
He's saying good. Bari is saying good. That's Olam Hazeh. And there will be a... That's exactly what he's telling you. There will be a time when you won't have that. The door closes. The world of Bechira, as Leah said, of free will closes down. And at that point, you just receive
free
a reward.
Will does close
yes.
down?
Yes. Wow. It will change. Yes. You want to get in there now?
No.
Yes.
He's saying, like, I just thought, like, you know how you're like, oh, you're not going to get bored of it. Like, think about the three-day Yom Kippur. Like, I
hear you. Imagine that, you'd be able to enjoy it.
No.
You got to get more out of your Yom Tov. It's like in Israel. You know, 3-day Yom Tov, we're used to, right? In Israel, they go crazy. Right? When is the only 3-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael? Rosh Hashanah. You call them, oh, they start shooting people. I tell you, they go absolutely bonkers. They're like, I can't take you. How much jachim can you eat? I'm like, get me out of here.
I know exactly.
Yes, I know. So that's a part of Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is part of that struggle. But the mitzvah come to us, we're going to see, I'm jumping ahead, I'm giving away the punchline right now. The mitzvah comes to us to help us get back to that state, bring it to the bottom. Ultimately, every mitzvah, besides six, well, the six as well, do it, but the physical, to help us bring it together. Yes.
So if there was no sin, there'd be no Mashiach?
If there's no sin, there'd be no reward.
So Mashiach wasn't made because of
the
sin?
Because what?
Because of the sin.
Okay, we'll get to. Okay, I can't jump to the Mashiach right now. We're going to do a lot of Mashiach, I promise you. You're going to have Mashiach coming out of your ears. God willing. Okay, we're going to see how that comes. That's all part of the plan. I'm saying it's all part of the plan, which is why the Rambam, when he listed his Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Torah, of the principles, he added Mashiach and Tchelem as two separate entities. It comes at the end. It's all part of one holistic whole. All we're doing right now is introducing these ideas and showing that it started at some point, but this is also the destination. Right, it's one glow. We're going to come back to the beginning. Okay, this is good class. I'm very impressed. Usually, everyone's usually asleep at this point. Right, this is fantastic. No, this is. I'm pleased you're asking these questions. Thank you. Okay, fabulous. Okay. So what happened? So Adam Rishon sinned. Page 5. The Kevah Shechata Abim Rishon, Nishtanu Devaram Shinu Gadol. Now, once he sinned, it'll change. Had he not sinned, everything would be fantastic. We wouldn't have to exist. Our neshamas were blended together with him. Obviously, we are a breakdown of Adam Rishon Chava. But we would have, things would have been fantastic. He sinned, things changed. Shinu Gadol, this is a very big change. And it's not just, it's not like New Jersey, New York. That's also a big difference, by the way. And it's a massive difference. For who kihine? It's chalayah. The amount of evil that existed was enough to gain perfection through your effort. Everything was perfectly balanced. Right? Amnam, however, through sin, here's the punchline, things changed. Once his sin came, everything changed and it became a lot more difficult. It became tough. Right? In order to perfect the world, much harder to achieve tikkun, perfection. Right? Pirush ki nebet chila yonakala, said Minachisron. Right? Amud vav liklot shleimut. It's very easy. Before, we can't even understand this. This is just worse to us. But it's worth knowing. Before the sin, it was just very easy to achieve greatness. Okay? You know, I actually have the example. I say it to my daughter sometimes. It's hard for us to understand this concept because we've never seen it. It's like thinking of a new color. You know, how do you think of a new color? You can't, because you can only experience that. Is it possible to have a new color? I guess. I have to experience it. Think of it. You can't, because it's not part of who we are. It's not part of the hue of the world that we're used to. But we're being told over here there were different colors. There were different sounds, different smells, different sights that we can't relate to. Right? That's the way it was. That's what we're trying to say over here. That's what he's describing to us. Shekach sidra chachma leone devarim. Right? Al pi midat tov yosheh, through the midah of good, ki ya'an lo yasibah l'rab lechzoron shabbat. There wasn't a need for evil at all. Okay? Ela shekach teva b'yisarab. That's the way Kodesh Baruch Hu made the world. There was evil in the world, right? That was represented by the nachash, by the snake. Right? The snake epitomizes this concept of ra, of evil. Mashi so atzma min ha-ra b'yifne el ha-tov. A person could choose. It wasn't, you know, you could abandon one and go for the other. Yes, he meant to be not. However, once he sinned, okay, it changed. Okay, once he sinned, kevan chaliday nistarash lemut, it became hidden. Right? It was hester. It was hidden. Yoter mishayta, that was what it was, and all the deficiencies came out. Yahor gorim ralatzmo, he caused bad to himself and Rishon. It wasn't so easy to achieve perfection. As it was. Okay, he could no longer achieve this perfection as easy as when he himself bore a responsibility for his faults. Okay? So however, so what are we saying? What are we left with after the chait? Where are we right now? Well, we're near the end, as we're going to see. But where are we right now? It says the kol which came. Right? The effort is doubled. The amount of effort you need to put in is doubled to what Adam Rishon had to deal with. And what are we trying to do? Because man must first bring himself and the world back to the state which existed before the sin. So what is the whole purpose of life, universe, and everything? To get us back to Adam Rishon lifnei achit. Everything that we're doing in this world, as individuals, as nations, as generations, and all going back to that previous state. That's where we're going. We're trying to recapture it. V'chakach shitalo min ha-metzav ha-hu al-metzav shleimad. You go from this to a higher state, shi'a ro'il adam shi'aleh. And that's going to take us to the place of perfection. Everything else is commentary of this. Everything we discuss, whether we're discussing Gilgal Neshamot, if you want to, you know, we'll discuss in that a few classes on reincarnation. Discuss the idea of all the mitzvot, of Shabbat, of Mashiach. It's all there to get us back to that point. Okay. So Adam Rishon and his day, there was no death. There was no Misa. There was no Mita. Didn't exist. Okay? V'olam, milvad kol zegrom Mita dino isparach. So, Hashem had various attributes. Different names of Hashem refer to different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bottom of page 5. Shelo yivachol lo adam v'lo olam ma'ata. Okay? He decreed that it won't be possible. He ki'al ha'shleimot, odem b'struot v'nit kalkala. Through this, this blemished state. He sees that this evil was building up. So part of life became death. Part of life became death. Okay? A person's neshama, mankind, would have to go through death. A period of absence, as he refers to it as. Okay? Person would have to go through death, and the neshama would have to re-enter at some point in the future world. So it wasn't just like, it could have just happened after the chayit, so we live and we all live forever, we have a struggle. Something else would add it. What was that? Death. Death was added into the whole system. Before the chayit, there was no death. Part of being after the chayit is the idea of mita, of death, entered into the world. And the entire world would have to go through a death period. Okay, Yeshua, Yibnah, B'tzura, Achad, Ruhi, Lashon, turn to the page. And at that point, the entire... So basically, he's saying, what happens is, part of the perfecting of the body is that the body gets broken down and built up, and this idea of a constant circle of life. And what is the ultimate end to all this? What is the ultimate end? Here's the punchline. Hashem decided the entire world would eventually die off and build up. So ultimately, the end goal over here will be resurrection of the dead, which we'll see as the 13th principle of the Rambam. And at that point, the body will be rebuilt and built up. And the entire world will be built up anew. Inyan Masham, as the rabbi said, 6,000 years the world will exist as it is, and for the following 1,000 years will be desolate, and after the 1,000 years, Baruch Baruch will renew the world. There will be changes, so basically we enter into a world and a time period that is after the 6,000, which is the 7,000, which is Shabbat. So we have 1,000 years of Shabbat. Okay? And then another 1,000, which will be Tchesamintim.
After 6,000 years?
Yes. So we're not sure when, but that's the way it will plan out. So each 1,000 years reflects a different day of the week. Okay? So right now, if you follow that paradigm, where are we right now? We're Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbat, right? Because each 1,000 is saying, so we're Erev Shabbat. Just for interest, what's it like Erev Shabbat in your home?
Crazy,
right? Building up quick, fast. So we are right now, everything's speeding, and then you get to Shabbat. Okay? Shabbat represents the 1,000. That's Me'en Olam Haba. That's the 1,000 that comes after this, after the 6,000.
That's okay? Why everything feels like it's flying.
That's what things was just flying, absolutely.
Wait, and that's when the world is born?
Yes. Oh, after that, so we go through the Shabbat, and then after that, there'll be a rebirth. Then you get to the 8th, which is the... Right, that's what he's going to be... that's what he's hinting at over here. He's saying something very, very deep. I don't think we understand it. I'm just telling you what he says. All right? The world will be 1,000 years. That will be just Shabbat. Okay? So the 6,000 represents 6 days of the week, he's saying, and the 7,000 will be the Shabbat. Okay. That finishes the Ramchal introduction to this course. Let us move forward about the Guf and the Neshama. Okay? So now we know what we're dealing with. Says the Gemara, Tanya Haya Rav Meir Oimer. Rav Meir said in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adam HaRishon Mikol Olam Kula Hutzpa Afra. Adam HaRishon was created from dirt gathered from the entire earth. Amra Ushia Mishmeda Rav, said Rav Yoshua, the name of Rav. Adam HaRishon grew from Bavel, actually not so much. His body came from Bavel, from Babylon. Rosh Meretz Yisrael, and his head from Meretz Yisrael, Vavarav Mishar Atzot. And there is his body, the rest of the lands. So this is talking through a metaphor for deeper things. Okay? So we see that the body, now this is one of the reasons, by the way, you can bury a body anywhere and it can be uplifted and go through Tiches HaMesim, as we'll see as well. Okay? And that's why the earth accepts any body, right, when it's put into it, because really the body comes from, Adam Rishon came from dirt from the entire world. Let's talk about the body just a little bit. What is the view of the Jewish body? How do we view the body in Jewish thought? Okay? So we look at the Rambam. And the Rambam, this is what one of my rabbis would call the least studied Rambam in all the Mishnah Torah. Okay, because the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, everyone know what the Mishnah Torah is? Okay, that's great.
Mishnah?
So the Mishnah Torah. Let's write it down.
Is that Devarim?
That is what Devarim is referred to, but that's not what we're talking about. The Mishnah Torah, what does the word Mishnah mean? To what? Right, to double up, right? We have Lechem Mishnah. What's Lechem Mishnah? Hello, anyone there today? Lechem Mishnah is the double loaf we put on our tables. Devarim is called Mishnah Torah, Deuteronomy, duet, two. It's a doubling up. Because there, Moshe Rabbeinu recalled many of the laws. They were repeated. Actually, not all. There are many new laws in Sefer Devarim as well. It's repeated. Mishnah means to double up. The Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, because in the Mishnah Torah, he brought down and repeated all the halachot from the Gemara. The Rambam was the only person in Jewish history who took all of the Gemara, all of halacha, and made it into halacha for us. Okay? That's when the Rambam, no one else did that. People took pieces here and there. Rambam did the entire thing. We're going to discuss the Rambam a lot more when we discuss Mashiach, because he was the only one who paskened on Mashiach. The laws of Mashiach, we're going to see, will mostly come from the Rambam. Although it's all mentioned in the Gemara, he's the only one who brought out halakha for it. So the Rambam is going to have a major impact for us when we discuss the idea of Mashiach, because he's the only one. When we get there, we shall get there. Among this book, the Mishnah Torah, we discuss the laws of Shofar, and the laws of Matzah, and the laws of Tzedakah, and the laws of Yom Kippur, and the laws of Tefillin, and the laws of Lulav and Etrog, and all these laws. He starts to talk about the body as well. Yes.
Can I ask you a question before I read the Rambam?
Sure.
Yeah.
Rambam. You know the difference?
Yeah.
Right? No, it's the way you say it. It's also Rambam and Ramban. That's what my Rebbe used to tell me, right? It's the Rambam and the Ramban. You say it differently, it's no difference. Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
So, Rav Meir says that the Adam Rishon was created from dirt and earth?
Yeah. Dirt from the entire earth. The entire earth is where it came from.
Okay.
Rav Ushia said no. Okay. It's different parts, yes. Each part. It may not be contradicting him. He's just making it more specific. He's saying different parts come from different places. Now, these aren't just like statements. He's saying there's something about the Rosh that came from Eretz Yisrael, right? There's something about the Guf, right? And the other limb. It relates to different parts of the world. But ultimately,
thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's look at the Rambam. Bottom of the page. Please follow inside. Yisim aleboshia gufo shaleim. The Guf, as we're saying, plays a role, and it should be taken care of. V'chazak should be whole, and it should be strong. Right? We don't disregard the body. The body is very, very important. The body has inherent holiness. The body has inherent holiness. Why? Why?
Because it holds the neshama.
Because it comes to contact with the neshama. The mashal for this is that the cover of a Torah, right? We have the cover on the Torah, is a piece of velvet, or wood if you're Sephardi. Now before it was on that Torah, this is not my analogy by the way, just saying that. Was it anything?
No,
a piece of wood. As soon as it came into proximity with the Torah, right, it became what's referred to as Tashmishi Kedusha. It took on the importance. And then you can't just come along and throw it away. We kiss it. What are you kissing velvet for? Because it takes on holiness because I'm close to it. Whatever comes into contact with that which is holy becomes holy. So to the body, it comes into contact with the soul because that's where the soul is kept. So the body itself has kedusha. It has. That's why we bury the body. That's why we treat the body with respect. Rambam is saying the way you treat the body is important. Your body needs to be strong, so that your soul is able, et Hashem, to know God. Fascinating Rambam. Unbelievable Rambam. He's saying, if you don't take care of your body, your soul is going to suffer. What's he saying? says, you, I'm reading with the wrong. If you want to know God, you've got to have a strong body. You can't ignore it. You can't say, oh, I'll just forget about it. Who cares? I let my teeth rot. I won't take care of my heart. I won't take care of my feet. I won't exercise. I won't sleep. He says, no. It's impossible to know Hashem without taking care of the body. She'efshar, look at the Rambam's words. E'efshar, she'yavin, v'istaka b'chochmat v'urav v'choyle. Impossible to know God if you're hungry all the time and you're sick. Or echad mevrav koev, one of your limbs hurts you.
So why do we fast in Yom Kippur? Like, I can't concentrate on my davening if I'm hungry. That's what I struggle with.
There isn't a Jew out there, like, who's not struggling with fasting right now, right? No one's like, oh, we're fasting again. Okay. The point over there of a limited amount of fast is to lessen the power, the goof the body has over the soul. That's what you're really doing over there. There's many other things it's doing, but that's really what's happening in that thing. You're lessening it, and suddenly you start to hear the soul more, because when you lessen the body, you start to hear the soul. But that's not to say you mistreat the body. That's not to say don't take care of the body. If a person's sick or ill, they start to get treated. If a person's about to die, they start to get treated at Yom Kippur. Right? But achye, what is the person, until what point? Achye gufa shalem. Until your body is whole. There's this amazing Rambam. They don't study this. They don't talk this Rambam in yeshiva when I was a kid. Right? This is an important Rambam. I don't know how people avoid this. Lavodat Hashem. To serve Hashem, you cannot serve Hashem unless you take care of your body. We said the body is the kli. It's the vessel. Vafilu b'shashu yashem. Even you're asleep. Im yashem ledat. Even sleep itself is important. If you're sleeping, ladat kadesha, tnuach dato. If sleep comes, even taking care of the body, letting it sleep is a big thing. Then noach gufas, so you rest the body so you can serve Hashem when it wakes up. Kadesha law, yechleb, lo yechula, vodet Hashem, hu chole. Okay, now the Rambam has many, many laws. I didn't bring them all down. I just mentioned a few. Right, what you eat, when you eat, how much you sleep. So the Rambam is going to sleep 8 hours a night. Here at Stern, the Rambam says that.
8 hours a night?
Third, yes. I mentioned that halach here at Stern. They're like, oh, but Rabbi, I'm up till 3 in the morning, I'm up at 5. Bah, 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 bah.
It's a halacha or it's what?
The Rambam's telling you what to do. It's a Mishnah Torah. You got to sleep. You got to schluff.
It's like he says, don't smoke.
He doesn't specifically say that. He doesn't specifically say smoking, but anything that's going to damage your body is asur.
He's a doctor, no wonder.
He was a doctor, yes. But he's saying this all comes from. That's a good question where he gets it from. He has many, many books that are written on this, on the physical body, but in the Mishnah Torah, there's a lot more power. I didn't bring it down. There's a lot more he discusses. A lot more. Okay? But just the basic concept that we, what I want to bring out to you, was the body must be taken care of. You've got to sleep well. You have to eat well. I'm not talking kosher. You can keep kosher and be unhealthy. Right? My rabbis used to say, if the Rambam walked into a kosher supermarket nowadays, they'd be like, it's kosher, but you shouldn't eat it. It's asur. Right? You're damaging your body with all this garbage. You know what I'm saying? It's a problem. He's saying your body is that you won't be able to come and connect to Hashem unless you take care of your body's needs. Okay? Very, very interesting.
Isn't it that good that there's like a halakha you have to go to the bathroom before you pray?
The Rambam actually lists 10 occasions during a single day in the Mishnah Torah. The same safe he discusses, Hilchot Tefillin, Hilchot Lulav, Hilchot Sukkah. He says that 10 times a day you got to check into the bathroom. He makes a big deal out of the bathroom. Big deal out of it. Before you sleep, after you sleep. Before you exercise, after you exercise.
I mean,
before you learn, after you. Before you pray, after you pray. He brings out all different occasions.
Wow.
You have to check. Hmm?
If you slap off on it, it could damage you.
What?
So you don't want to go to the bathroom.
100%.
His book is in English also?
You can. He wrote it in Hebrew, part of the Mishnah Torah. You can find English translations of it. The entire thing you can see. Even online, Chabad.org, a very good website, actually has the entire Mishnah Torah in English. You can look it up. Worth reading through. It'll take you a few minutes. It's not very long. Because he crunched it nicely, so it's very readable, the Rambam. He wanted his book, when the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, he wanted it to be actually gone to trouble. He said, you don't have to learn anything else, just read the Chumash, forget about the Gemara, just learn my thing, I'll tell you exactly what to do. They burned his books.
Who burned his books?
The rabbis of the day, many people burned his books. He said, how can he say such a thing? Tell us, right? History is voted, the Rambam is Kadosh, and when you study Torah, you study Rambam. But he had struggled getting it out at the beginning. He did a great service for the Jewish people. When you study Gemara, you study Rishon, you study the Rambam. Where's the Rambam? Where's the final lock? Now, we don't always pass like the Rambam. Except, anybody know who does?
Sephardi.
No Sephardi. Not Sephardi. Yemenites.
What's
Yemenites. The Temanim. The Yemenites, thank you. The Yemenites follow the Rambam Lacha. They love the Rambam. Why? Why? The Rambam saved the Yemenite community. You should know that. The Yemenites had a lot of difficulty, a lot of troubles, and they would write letters to the Rambam. And they said they were having trouble with it, and he gave them advice, and they had false messiahs. We'll discuss Mashiach. We're going to learn about a false messiah who was in Yemen, okay, who the Rambam completely derided and pushed away. And that's why the Yemenites of this day, the Rambam for them, is, woo, we're not Paskin. We Paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. He follows the Rosh, the Rambam, and the Rif. And he goes on the majority. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Classic example is washing for bread. We, who follow the Shulchan Aruch, don't speak in between washing and eating bread. That's Hesach Adat. Right? The Rambam does not bring that down. So Yemenites will speak between washing and, yeah, you do that, and eating lechem.
Also eating on the
night. You've been subsumed to the rest of the Sephardic world. But those who follow Yemenite tradition, when you follow the Sephardic, the Yemenite tradition, they will wash and they'll schmooze. They'll talk and then... I went to Rabbi Neres Yisrael for Shabbat. He was, right from Rabbi Sharabi, washed his hands, and he was like schmoozing with me. He says, you can't talk, but I can. No, they follow the Rambam, halacha. They follow, we don't. We don't, the Shulchan Aruch.
We can't look his halakha.
So if you marry,
you can look his halakha. It becomes academic. You study what the Rambam says, right? But we don't always follow the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't always follow the Rambam. And there's even occasions where Ashkenazim follow the Rambam and Sephardim don't.
Really?
Yes, get to Hanukkah. We'll see over there. There's even times when we go differently.
So if you marry a Yemenite, you have to follow all that?
If you marry a Yemenite, there's many other things we're going to talk about, first of all. But, among them, the general custom is to follow your husband's minhagim. Which is halacha. If you marry, for example, you're Sephardi, you're Persian,
yeah,
you eat rice on Pesach.
Yeah.
Okay, if you marry an Ashkenazi...
Or Moroccan.
Moroccans don't talk. Actually, the Moroccans, for the most part, they follow Ashkenazi halacha. A rabbi recently gave me a whole history of Moroccan Jews. Actually, they're more Ashkenazi than pretty much anyone else. Okay.
Really?
Wow.
They follow, yeah, they're actually pretty Ashkenazi in a lot of their minhagim and...
They look Sephardi, but they're really...
But I'm not putting down any Sephardic or Ashkenazi group. Well, maybe Ashkenazi. Okay. All right. We'll stop over there.